Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Getting my dad to say I love you.
To say what?
Say he loves it.
Outrageous.
Bloody nonsense.
Hello, welcome back to the podcast. Dad, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Chris.
Good to hear you too and see you, because we can see each other at the same time. We've got Rachel Fairburn for this episode. You've been looking her up on the internet?
Yeah, I've been looking her up, yes. She's a bit eclectic in what she does.
She has a very popular podcast.
Yeah, it does seem quite popular.
Do you know what it's about?
Well, it seemed to be about hot tacos. I don't know quite what else it's about, but it's all about music as well, and she's
there's also her podcast about murderers.
Oh yes, there was a thing about murderers.
Very popular topic.
You ought to get down here and do the doctor murderer down here. Well,
who's the doctor murderer down? Is that Shipman?
No, it's his predecessor, whose name I just instantly forgotten, of course, which is dad moment, of course.
I never heard a murderer referred to as a predecessor to another murderer.
Well, he was. I mean, he was the precursor. Hang on. Just a minute. I'm just going to get his name.
Just Great. Give me 2 seconds. Just waiting for a dad to Google something. That won't take long.
Yeah. Dad.
Play some interlude music, please, producer Paul.
Hang on just a minute.
I am hanging on. It's my podcast. Don't tell me to hang on. Anytime this week, Dad.
Oh, yes, here we are. I've got his name now. John Bodkin Adams.
Okay.
But I asked her quite an interest, because the other thing she likes is tacos, very hot tacos.
Do you know why it's called hot taco? I think I haven't read. A hot taco on Urban Dictionary is when somebody, preferably a male, farts into a woman's vagina before sexual intercourse.
Really? Good Lord. I thought this was a meal you bought in Chester. No, I think genuinely, Chris, no, I think you're wrong now. I think there's generally a restaurant called a hot taco or something.
Where are you getting this information from?
Oh, no, I got it. I'm sure it's right, because she keeps going on about it.
Where are you finding this information? I'm on a...
Well, I found it online, and it was all...
I see what you mean. Okay, right, sorry. On her Twitter, she's recommended a restaurant in Chester that does tacos. That's what...
Yeah, but she's obviously very... Because hot tacos keep coming up over and over again.
Stop saying hot tacos. Now we know what it means. As far as I was aware, she does a very successful podcast about murderers. She's very funny, very lovely person. And you've managed to pick up that she does enjoy spicy tacos. And yes. I don't know if that's what she's best.
Well, I've done wrong. I did listen to a bit of her. Yeah, she was quite good, I thought.
Right. Great.
Well, she doesn't always mention the tacos, but so Death by Taco is obviously the place to go in Chester.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go chat to her dad. All right. I'll speak to her and then I'll see you later. I love you.
Good. Thank you very much.
Welcome, my lovely guest, Rachel Fairburn. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What I like to do right at the gate, Rachel, I don't like to mess around with my guests. I like to ask you straight away, have both your parents said to you the phrase, I love you, before?
Only my mum.
Only your mother.
My dad never has.
Really?
That I can remember.
Interesting. But interesting that you went, you immediately know that. Because I asked some people, they're not sure. When I came up with the premise, I was like, I don't know if my dad had the number of his hand. So your dad, what about, he's just an old-fashioned guy and just not his style, or...?
Well, this is the weird thing, right? So, first of all, my parents are still together, which I often have to... I think people assume, because I'm northern and working class, that my parents aren't together.
Do people assume that?
Oh, my God, the amount of times I get asked, are your parents still together? I get asked it quite a lot, and I have been throughout my life. Wow. But then again, maybe it's because I tend to talk more about my mum than my dad.
Right.
What was your original question? Oh yeah, my dad. What's he like?
Your dad,
So he's Welsh, and he. See, this is it. We always have a laugh within the family because we don't really know anything about him, even though he's there, and he's like, we know he's Welsh, we know his name, but he doesn't. He never volunteers any information about himself. I haven't got any stories from his childhood. I couldn't tell you what school he went to. I don't know. He's a mystery completely.
That's
and I'm not exaggerating this either. This is genuinely
the
true.
Only things you know about your dad is he's Welsh and his name.
Yeah, and his name. That's it. I don't know. He doesn't really have anything that he's particularly interested in.
What does he do, Daisy? Who is this man?
Who is this man?
I want to do a new podcast called Who is Rachel Fairbairn's Dad? And we just work out who he is.
He's a bus driver and he loves driving. In fact, that is something that he loves. He always refers to himself as a professional driver.
Okay, well, he is.
He is, yeah. He loves being a professional driver.
Does he watch F1 and say kind of the same thing? Is he kind of, I'd like to see drive a longer vehicle.
He probably wouldn't watch that. The only thing I know about him is that he likes football and rugby.
Okay,
so there are two other things that I know about him. I don't know his feelings on Formula One. At all.
I love this. Do you know what, though? It's funny, because when you started talking about him, I was thinking of my dad, and he similarly does not, he has a couple of things I know. He loves food. He's like a big guy. He likes his food and drinking and socializing. He likes old books and ephemera. And that's going to relate to you in a sec because you used to work in the Library of Art. But when I try to, he doesn't tell fun stories of his, he doesn't want to give anything below the surface away in any way. It's very odd. I don't really know anything about him either. I know a couple. If we're talking about anything that isn't like food or that, if it's not, I just see his like whole eyes glaze over, like he's like an alien who's just like, what is going on in this conversation?
Yeah, and it's weird as well because my mum and my dad are two completely opposite people. Like my mum's smart. That sounds like I'm calling my dad thick. But my mum's really intelligent.
Well, you don't know. Your dad could be the smartest guy in the world. You don't know him.
Exactly. He could be the stupidest man or the most intelligent man. And I just don't even know. My mum's really smart, really switched on, really interested in loads of different things. Sort of, interested in sort of current affairs and has an opinion on things and will talk about all different subjects with people. And I just think, how have these two people ended up together
together? Do you know how they met? Yeah.
I do know this. My parents met where my mum went to work at Butlins on Barry Island for like a summer season and was a waitress.
What a British sentence to hear.
It's, I know.
I'm in America right now. I've just heard the most British sentence. It's made me sound.
She was a waitress. And my dad was working in the kitchens there and they met at a fancy dress party where my mum was dressed as Julius Caesar and my dad was dressed as a woman.
That's great.
So, yeah.
They had to cop off when they'd done that.
Exactly. And that's how they ended up together. But, yeah, they have nothing in common. It's, apart from the children, I mean, maybe it's me and my sister that's kept them together. I don't know.
But you don't... I'm not trying to make you say something you're not trying to say, but I always, my parents are together, but the way they talk to each other and stuff, you know, like I've had these thoughts of like, I think Like, you know, I don't want to say something. If you guys were separated, I think it wouldn't be the one. I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I'd be like, but they are codependent, and so I'm distilling something that I'm not in, which is unfair of me. But I would be very unsurprised if they went, you know what? Maybe with different people, we should be doing our own thing.
Yeah, you see, that's quite interesting because my parents argue all the bloody time.
Yeah. And like, all the time,
growing up, it was like, when I think back, I'm like, bloody hell, they never let up. Which is why I spent a lot of time with my grandparents growing up, because it was nice and quiet and peaceful. And, you know, I got to just have a bit of time to myself without constant shouting. But it's like the way and I've noticed now when I go back home, I get quite stressed because I'm like, why are they shouting all the time? Like, they're just asking each other a simple question and they're just shouting. And I rarely shout. And when I do, I always surprise myself because I'm like, oh, God. And it always takes me back to being... And it's nothing bad, obviously. I'm not traumatised by it. I think it was just a stressful sort of time to be
bringing kids up. I relate to massively because I... Yeah, the same. I very much don't like shouting. I don't like confrontation, but I remember very vividly as a kid sitting on stairs, hearing them shouting all the time.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have actively tried to do everything to not do it. When you go home still, do you find this, are you the in between of them? So, my mum will say stuff about my dad will say this, but maybe your dad doesn't say anything to you by the sounds of it, but, and I'm always there and I'm trying to sort of peacemate, and I'm like, what am I doing? It's not my job. I'm not the agent for this relationship.
Yeah. See, I get like that. I do sort of, not as much as I used to as a kid. It's sort of like they'd go through these phases of like not speaking to each other for days as well. So it'd be like, oh, mum and dad aren't speaking. So it'd be like, tell your father this. And it's like, oh, right, okay. Yeah, you know, that kind of vibe.
I know.
But now it's sort of, there's sort of this weird sort of bonding thing that happens sometimes. So my mum, as great as she is, will never admit when she's wrong, ever. And it's such a bad... like trait to have in a personality. She will never admit when she's wrong. And me and my sister and my dad bond over this. It's probably the main thing that we all bond over, because it's like, she'll say something. Like, here's an example. Her mobile phone is like an iPhone 2 or something.
Yeah.
And it's shit. It doesn't work. Get a new phone. Every time you ring her, it ends up cutting off at some point. And then she'll ring you back and go, your phone, it's your phone. It's like, no, this happens whenever we speak to you on the phone. This is your phone. She won't admit. She'll say something and deny that she ever said it as well.
God.
It's like, no, mum, you did say that. But she won't. And I sort of, when I was growing up, I genuinely, up until about the age of 14, I genuinely thought that my mum was never wrong.
Mm.
Like, I thought, oh, well, if my mum said that, then that must be the truth. Or... And
what
then
was what was the moment? What was the thing that you were like, that's bullshit, mate?
I can't remember what it was, but I think it sort of crept in a little bit when I was like, well, I don't think that's true. Or like, I didn't say that. She just said, you know what I mean? Like, and I started to realise, like, oh shit, actually, my mum is occasionally wrong. But this is what we sort of bond over. So my dad, he sort of... Now, if my mum listens to this, I do apologise because I don't think she knows this. So my dad will say, if he's really pissed off at my mum, he will refer to her as the dragon. So he'll phone me up. So my dad is very Crosby Welsh as well. So him using the dragon.
It's a term of endearment.
He'll go, oh, well, you know, the dragon said this, or the dragon's on the warpath. So it'll be... And this is when we sort of bond over things. So my dad rarely rings me. If he rings me, I'm like, oh, God, no, what's happened? It's got to be bad news, right?
Right.
But sometimes he'll ring me and you can tell he's in quite a good mood because it feels like, I don't know, like he's won an argument or something. You can tell that he's dying to tell you some victory that he had. And it'll be weird because, like, I'll speak to him then and then I won't hear from him or speak to him for weeks because I get all my news about my dad through my mum. So she's very much like, you know, I'll phone her. And if my dad answers the phone, it's one of those where it's like, oh, can you put my mum on, please? Because I don't really know what to say to you. So I kind of get all my news about my dad through my mum.
Right,
she'll tell me where he's been, what he's been doing and stuff.
That's so funny that he mainly rings to celebrate a victory in an argument. That's basically... Well,
also, speaking of ringing, he, as I say, he loves being Welsh. His answer phone message for a good few years when you rang his mobile was it's so embarrassing. You know, he didn't give his name, didn't say, just say leave a message. He said, "You have reached the Prince of Wales." And then it just beeped. It's like...
What are we... And then you... I want to know so much more about... Your dad is... What is going on in that head? I mean, what's funny is you said... You did say... what did you say? My dad's very proud to be Welsh. And I feel like... that doesn't need to. If someone's Welsh, that we don't need to. You don't need to. I've never met a non-proud Welsh person.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like, how do you know? So everyone has that joke about vegans. I'm vegan. How do you know there's a vegan? I tell you, I know fucking someone's Welsh because they'll be bloody got red paint on their face from across the street.
Yeah, they are insanely proud. Yeah,
the Prince of Wales. Have you ever gone? What is ever? I mean, just it's. Does he rate himself?
I don't know. Well, this is it. Like he.
Does he need? So, you've got no brothers, right?
No brothers.
Do you feel like your dad is like? He sounds like a guy that wanted us. Like he openly wanted a son, and he just cannot get out. Did he try? Did he try and push that on you as a kid?
100%. My dad wanted. I think my dad would have been much more comfortable if he'd had sons rather than daughters, because he sort of. I think he feels quite surrounded by women a lot of the time, because most of my family are women. And I know him and my granddad sort of used to, my mum's dad used to bond a bit over, like, because there were so many women in the family who were so opinionated and strong, and all the grandchildren were girls. I think my dad was kind of like, oh, can I just have 5 minutes? And he'd sort of bond with my granddad over it. They'd just be like, oh, we're just surrounded by all these women all the time. But I think he would have been much better with sons, because what he used to do when I, so there's 6 years between me and my sister as well, which is quite a big age gap when there's just two of you. But I was sort of a bit tomboyish anyway when I was a kid. But he used to take me to... There's another thing he loves, Manchester United. So he used to take me to a lot of Manchester United matches. And this is something I regret, actually. I've never actually said this publicly, so it's going on record now.
Okay.
So I support Manchester City. Oof. But the reason I support Manchester City is because my dad supported Manchester United and I wanted to annoy him. But... And I regret that deeply, because I used to go to a lot of, you know, in the heyday of Manchester United, you know, the glory days, I got to go and see loads of amazing Manchester United games and sort of, you know, I loved going to the football with him. He had nothing to say to me, you know, I'd just sit there with him, you know, yeah. I'd be there. And then I sort of, as I got a little bit older, I was like, my act of rebellion was to then support Manchester City. Which I regret now.
Well, do you regret that now? Because now they're really good, Man United.
I do still regret it. Yeah.
Okay,
I
that's the same. So you wish, you don't think because of that you've that's not why he doesn't tell you anything. He's like sacrilege. He supports a different team.
Well, he was never telling me anything before that. So.
Oh man, that's so. So do you know? What was you don't have to go into full, what was your dad's, has he got very like sort of Welsh name? Is he proper like?
No, this is the thing, it's called Tony.
Right.
And it's not Anthony, it is Tony. Just Tony.
Christened.
He's very sort of strict about this.
He was a baby Tony.
A baby Tony, yeah.
That's funny.
Just
That's
baby
funny.
Tony.
It's funny to look at a baby and think Tony. Just full on Tony. So
little Tony.
Little Tony. So I guess... I mean, this is always a problem. What were your grandparents on that side like? Can you like look at them and go, oh, I see why you're like that. Why my dad is like that.
So it's quite. So my grandma and granddad in Wales. My dad's the youngest of. See, here's the other thing. I don't know how many brothers and sisters he's got, and it is. I think he's either one of 9 or 10.
All right, that's so, fair enough. So if it was like 3 or 2, I'd be like, yeah, that's hard to keep track of.
Huge family, and he was the youngest. And my grandma Alwyn. He was a lovely lady, absolutely doted on him.
Right.
To the, like, she thought he was the bee's knees. Like, my mum...
She thought he was the Prince of Wales, mate.
Well, exactly, he's bloody Prince of Wales. My mum to this day still says that, you know, if they have an argument, my dad is a sulker, and she says the reason he's a sulker is because his mum spoiled him.
Yeah, oh, that's what my mum says about... My dad's an only child... And if he doesn't get his own way, he throws a strop and starts getting super defensive and then just shuts down. And my mum is always, it's so funny how I was trying to think of my relationship. Do I do the same if Hannah's something? Yeah, I do sometimes. It's weird how you do that. We always go like, oh, it's because of their parents. Like, I don't know why are we even saying that? It doesn't help. It's not like she's going to go, oh, it's because his mum, and then he's going to go, oh, you're right, I was spoiled as a kid, and I'll just completely...
Yeah, now you've insulted my mother.
Yeah, now you've insulted my dead parents. I'm going to be really on side with this argument. That's so funny. I think there must be some correlation, being a little
bit...
There's
got to be, but I see this with my nephew, though. So my sister's got three kids, and my nephew, who is lovely, he's the only boy, so it's two girls and a boy. He is very much a mummy's boy, which annoys me and annoys my mum as well. But I can see certain traits in him now because he's a little bit spoiled and a bit of a mummy's boy. I'm like, oh, you're just going to be like my dad, you.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's a bit of a sulker and he kicks off a lot if he doesn't get his own way. So
interesting.
Okay,
your dad kind of does... Yeah, my dad is sort of like... I'm just going to shut down here in case I end up saying something wrong and getting shouted at. So I'd just rather just keep my mouth shut. That's so interesting. Yep. Have you ever suggested? I'm just curious to know, like, not to go so into heady stuff here, but like, I started therapy very LA like 2 months ago for the first time. Even though I generally think, you know, because of some stuff's been going on with... I've talked about this on here before. My mum's been unwell with cancer and stuff, so I've been kind of just trying to deal with that being in another country. But I've said to my dad, like, he's sort of half done counselling and he's tried therapy and he did it a bit on his own, but I'm pretty sure, like, he's fallen asleep in stuff like this before, and I don't know what... He hasn't in any way... Someone made this point about therapy. When you think someone should get therapy, what you really want them to do is go and fix some things that you think are wrong with them. And often they'll come out and... Or maybe they'll be fixed in those ways, but fixings or whatever, but... Often they come out and they're like, yeah, that was all right. And then they haven't had the thing addressed that you were hoping they would get addressed. But anyway, that was a very long way of saying, has your dad ever... I doubt he has. Have you ever thought he might benefit from that or even pitched him that idea?
Oh, my God, no. I cannot imagine. He would be like, have you lost your mind? Like, he doesn't talk to any of us. Why would you go and talk to a stranger? I mean...
That's true. That's very true.
But also, then again, I think about my dad. I think... Has he actually, you know, maybe he's... what you see is what you get. Like, that's him. There's nothing... I don't think there's anything deep that he's sort of suppressing or anything like that. I just think he's...
He's just a simple man of simple... just a simple word, nothing wrong with that.
Just a bloke, yeah.
Come here, son.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So this just the bloke dad and your mum, who's much more, sounds like you're kind of your friend growing up. Did you kind of... the thing I always talk about in here is like the two kind of the oversimplified ingredients to being a successful comic writer, podcaster, all this, I do think is like hard work and then a bit of fearlessness to take the leap and do it. So do you, who of them do you think gave you those kind of characteristics, or where did you, it sounds like your dad loves his job, even though it's not a job. So that kind of, did that, and he presumably is a hard worker, like clocks it, like does it all the time. You get that kind of, not necessarily directly, but do you think that attitude rubbed off on you and thought, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it like properly?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, my dad, my sort of, all my memories of growing up are my dad working, working or playing rugby, or on the rare occasion when he was a van driver and he had a, well, lorry driver, he'd take you on a trip in the lorry. Wouldn't speak to you, but you'd just, you know, be bonding while you're in the truck kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think both my parents are really like proper grafters.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I spent so much time, you know, living with my grandparents growing up, because they were always at work and it was easy for them to take me to school and all that kind of stuff. But as I think, yeah, and I think all my family have always been really hardworking, but also have always been very encouraging of, like, if you want to do something, you should do it. Nothing, it's never felt like anything was out of reach for me, if that
That's great.
Makes sense. Like, my mum, since I was, because when I was a kid, I started writing little funny stories for my mum about my dad being a bus driver, which was weird.
There you go. And, it's the two things, creativity and hard work in your essays. There you go.
So I used to write these little stories. I think she's still got some of them. And then she used to encourage me because she thought, oh, well, she's good at writing. We'll encourage her with, you know, writing and stuff like that. And then when I got a bit older, she used to say, oh, you should do stand-up. And I as a child, I was so shy.
She said it to you, actually. Yeah, you should try it. That's so cool.
Yeah. So
how old are you then when she said that?
She said it to me from when I was about 15. And I was like, are you mad? Because I was so shy growing up. Like, I still am shy now, which no one ever believes now.
I believe that, by the way, because I had this debate actually with Kai Humphries once, and he said, no comedian is shy. And I was like, no, I think you can, because there's something like weirdly, it's something weird about being up there in front of loads of people. You can kind of zone out of this thing, but I don't like, I'm not shy, but I don't love like five people around me, like, and you have to entertain them. I just immediately think everything I says is a bag of shit, and I just want to just like die.
I know. I still do now. I used to blush quite easily, and I still do now. So I just remember, so when I was a teenager, I would go red at anything, and I'm not just talking like a bit red. I'm talking like beetroot. And then because you realise you've gone red, you panic, don't you? And you go even redder.
You go redder,
So my entire sort of teenage and childhood years were trying to avoid situations that I was like I might be embarrassed in or might feel self-conscious in.
So you're trying to stay not red was your
that's exactly it, yeah. And it's like even now I still not as bad as I used to. I will for no reason just go red, like if I feel slightly self-conscious, it's like, oh god, I've gone red. And then when someone says you've gone red, it's like, I fucking know, just mention it. It's relentless. But because I
know
like
what
that,
to heckle you with if ever what you like.
You've gone red.
Sorry.
Because I was so shy and quiet, and my mum was saying, oh, you should do stand-up. I was like, this woman is insane. Of all the things that I could do in the world, why on earth would I want to be a comedian? And because I used to watch loads of comedy and stuff like growing up, and it was like one of my main interests, I think. And my mum is much more of a, I'd say my mum's more of a comedy fan than I am. Like, she's really, I remember always going to watch stand-up. Like, she went to watch, when I was a kid, she went to watch Joe Brand and sort of Eddie Izzard and stuff like that. And it was quite a big part of, you know, what we'd do as a family. Like, we'd watch comedies together and stuff. But, she was saying to me, like, oh, you should do stand-up. And she went on and on and on at me for years until I got when Labour did all that New Deal stuff and sort of community projects, because where I'm from in North Manchester is a shit area. Mm-hmm. They had this bright idea to do a comedy course, right? So I did it and I was like, oh, this is great. And I loved it. It's probably like the only thing that I ever stuck at because I've had loads of different jobs and stuff like that. And that was it then. And I started writing, and then I did my first gig before the end of the course. And then my mum was like, oh, great. So I told you I was right, because obviously she's never wrong. There we
have
it.
That's a funny punchline to that. It's a huge space in life. I knew it. I don't care if you're happy. I knew it. If you're happy, it's a byproduct of me being correct. That's so cool, though, that your mum... What a cool bit of parenting. Not that I'm a parent yet, or maybe ever will be, whoever knows. But I love the fact that she's like this... She saw that, like, not a weakness, but she saw that you had the shyness and all this. And but she thought, actually, which is fine. There's different ways of parenting. Go, all right, that's you. But she thought, like, this will be good for you. And this will help you. And also is something that will make you happy. That's very stupid parenting. So
I know it is, actually, when I think back. It's quite good.
What did you say she does? What does she do? Does she do a job?
She's retired now. She took, like, early retirement. No, she sort of... This is the thing about mum. I always think... Like, my mum's worst nightmare is performing or being in front of anybody, or, you know, she is, like, she can't imagine anything worse. But she's so, like, well-read and intelligent and smart and fun. She's genuinely, she is the funniest person I know. She's so funny. And I always, like, her job when I was growing up, she was, like, to work for the city, Manchester City Council, being a housing officer. So basically she'd go around, like, rough estates and check that all the houses were all right and people getting repairs done and all that kind of stuff and solving neighbourhood disputes and everything. And I always feel like, because my mum is so, like, I'm more likely to run material past my mum than I am another comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I trust her more than I trust most people when
that's
it comes
actually
to
wise, to be fair. Most comedians are just terrible.
Yeah,
to
you can't. Yeah. Don't tell them anything. No. So, but yeah, I always feel like my mum could have done something really creative, but I don't know, maybe because, I mean, she was 24 when she had me, which relatively young. But, and I think, you know, bringing me and my sister up, I always wonder if she could have done something a bit more. I don't know. I always feel like my mum's got she could write a good book. That's what I always think about my mum.
That's not, well, no, it's interesting what you say. I do feel as like a, your mum is, she's, when people say living vicariously, that's like, it feels like that's kind of a, isn't it? I don't think it's as black and white as that. It feels like your mum has kind of wanted you to benefit from some, maybe from circumstance, like you said, either having a kid or just also that whenever that was, I don't know what year that was, but just, it was way less prevalent doing stand-up and all that stuff. And yeah, I guess I relate to it. My dad was, he was a lawyer and he hated it. He did it because his parents told him to. So he was basically like, don't be a lawyer, do something that makes you happy. So your mum just probably, yeah, I do get that. For sometimes you look at someone, whether it's a mum or anyone, and go, oh, you could be doing this and the other, but circumstances push people in different ways and you never know. There's that little bit of that kind of, she was trying to give you that fearlessness that I think is to just like go for it and not worry about, you know, stability. Like, we don't know.
I think that's true.
But that's but that's cool. But the book thing's interesting because a friend of mine who he actually, his dad was very creative and he was helping write his book with his dad. His dad sadly passed away actually recently, so he's going to finish the book, but his dad was like his dad was loving doing it. So yeah, it's, I mean, even with this podcast, my dad, he doesn't even know what a podcast is, but he has this something in him that likes to, I don't know, entertain or whatever. Yeah. So it's a fun thing to do. And if you can find that little outlet for her that you'll enjoy of her, I think that's a thing worth pursuing. Especially as you called her the dragon 20 minutes earlier. You've got to kind of...
Well, I was just quoting my father, actually.
Get Tony in trouble. I'm sure your mum has a nickname for Tony as well. But that's so cool.
She does. Actually, this is true. This is genuinely true. My mum doesn't call my dad by his name at all. This is going to sound so terrible because to anyone outside of my family, this just sounds horrendous. My mum just calls my dad Fat Boy.
Do you know what, though? I swear our parents, I would have laughed out of shock if it wasn't so close to, what the fuck does my mum call my dad? She calls him like Sir Massive Underpants or something like that because he's just lit.
Fucking love it.
It's so funny. And then she's got, no, and that's it. And for some reason, she calls him, his name's John. She calls him Juanita and has him on her phone as Juanita. And there's it's not like a anti-Spanish thing. It's like, because I can't remember what it is, but there's some reason. But anyway, she just... But my mum... I don't think this makes sense to you. I swear my mum is with my dad, mainly because she just, like, finds him as, like, him funny, but not, like, laughing with him, just, like, laughs at his sort of... Just him. Like, when I went back to visit, and my mum was still in hospital and stuff, and then she's out now and doing a lot better, which is great. But when I was back, I was chatting to my dad about it, and he... They were sleeping in separate beds just because of... I don't know if it's marriage stuff or more. It was more like because my mum was struggling to sleep. So mm-hmm. anyway, I was in his bedroom and I was chatting to him and I had a 30-minute conversation and his bollock was just out of his boxer shorts for the whole conversation. Anyway, so then I like tell my mum, yeah, I had this chat with dad, you know, just, you know, talking about you and just hoping you're right. And obviously like, his fucking nut was out for the whole, and she just like, just cracked up like half an hour, like 30 seconds, just full on. She's like losing her shit laughing. And I'm like, that's so funny that, like, that's the most she laughs is when, like, my dad is just being an absolute massive
yeah.
baby of a human. I don't know. It's just a...
Yeah. You see, I think that is it. So, like, my mum will go, you know, she'll ring me, she'll go, oh, you'll never guess what fat boy's done today. Right. And I'm like, all right, okay. And she'll tell me.
Is your dad a bigger man, just out of interest, or is it just like...
No. He's just a middle-aged, average-sized man.
Wow.
You'll never guess what fat boy's done today. And then she'll be telling you about it. And it's always something where he's embarrassed himself. Because we have this thing. He's got no shame, my father. Like, he doesn't care. He genuinely doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks about him.
Yeah, totally.
And he's going to a scenario aggressively. So we have this thing in our family where if we hear my dad say, I'm not being funny... We're like, oh, shit, he's going to kick off.
Right.
He's going to kick off, right? And I remember a lot of my childhood being in places like banks, building societies, and various other places like that, and hearing my dad say I'm not being funny, and then he'd be that nightmare customer. And I just remember sitting there going, oh, God, I wish I was dead. This is awful. But, yeah, usually it's when he's kicked off. So this is going to sound horrendous, right? But...
Please,
he nearly got banned.
Mate.
He nearly got banned from his local GP surgery.
I was so excited by what he's going to be banned for. Banned from your local GP. What did he do?
He's just an asshole. This is the problem. Like,
Your dad is the reason all GP receptionists are so mean because they've had to deal with your dad.
100%. This is what it is, right? So. And I know it's a old cliche that GP's receptionists are not very nice, but the ones at my old doctors that I used to go to Manchester were not very nice. But you just sort of accept it, but my dad will never accept it. So he'd phone up and he'd be as aggressive back to them as they were to him. And then he'd go down there to collect something like a prescription and kick off when he's in there. And they said to him, look, you... can't keep doing this. If you keep verbally abusing our staff, then you can't come back. But the worst was, the doctor, for some reason, is retired now. He was quite fond of my dad and took my dad's side.
Amazing.
Like, what is going on? Like, honestly, he can kick off about anything, though, which is good sometimes because, you know, he'll sort of... It can stick up for you in great situations. But then occasionally it's like, this is not worth fighting over. Just
like
coming
too hot, Tony. Yeah, I know.
You've gone in too quick. You've gone in too hot, too fast. It's, yeah.
And you haven't, it seems like you're the opposite. Man, I can't imagine you getting super angry about stuff.
I get, like, I will, if I'm pissed off, I think I've got from my dad. No one's ever in any doubt about how I feel about something. So if I'm happy, I'm happy. You know if I'm annoyed, you know if I'm angry, you know if I'm sad. I don't sort of hide my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I get that. My dad will just... I mean, he has two emotions, my dad. You know, quiet. I mean, just normal and angry. So that's it. There's no in between.
That's great.
So, yeah, I think that's where I get that from. Like, I do stick up for myself and I do, you know... don't take any shit. And I do think I get that from my dad. But also I can be very hot-headed, but it's always very short-lived.
Okay.
So I sort of blow up a bit and then
okay.
I'm all right.
So there's a bit of Tony and a bit of your mum.
A bit of Tony there, yeah, definitely.
So I meant to ask then, your mum's so supportive of you getting into comedy and doing, like, what's your dad's reaction to this? You know, he's a bus driver, he's got a proper job. So is he like, what are you doing? Get a proper job, or is he on board of it?
He's pretty good, but the only thing my parents have always said, or my dad has always said, like, you should, if you're not, like, I remember a period in my life where I was about, how old was I? About 19. And I was just in that, I was waiting to start a new job and I hadn't got a reference through. So I wasn't working for about 3 weeks. And my dad was like, oh, you need to do something. You're sitting around the house all day. It's like, I'm actually just waiting to start a job. So he's just like, as long as you're working.
That's fine. Doesn't care what it is.
That's enough, you know, that's fine. But I think he's quite baffled. I mean, not baffled by it. I think he...
I mean, doing a podcast, getting paid to do a podcast makes no sense to a lot of people, especially our dad's generation. So has he ever listened to your podcast?
God, I fucking hope not. I know my dad's supportive, and I know he's sort of proud of what I do, because he tells people that I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, my dad does that as well.
And I think that's, I don't know, I find it quite a weird thing, because for my dad to do that, it must show some sort of pride about what I do. But
he just doesn't have it. That's a classic dad thing. He is proud. He wants to say, I'm proud of you, but something about that makes it feel weak to say to you. So he'll just say it to other people in a sort of, my dad does the same. It's kind of a weird. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
He's been to see my stand-up, which I fucking hate. I can't cope when...
Did you clock him laugh? Did he ever laugh? Can you clock
well,
him laugh?
Well, I sort of brief them when... So my mum's fine. You know, she can listen to anything. I don't mind. I don't feel self-conscious. But when my dad's been to see, like, my Edinburgh shows, and they came up to Edinburgh 1 year, and I just said, right, before you go in, I'm going to mention this, that's not necessarily true. Don't take anything rude I say, just ignore it. I am going to swear, and then I have to sort of brief them on it. And they're like, yeah, fine, I know. But I just feel, and I say to my dad, like, you're going to have to sit out of the way so I cannot see you. I cannot do this show if I see you.
Yeah.
My mum, not too bad, but my dad, I can't even. But it's weird, because my boyfriend's dad is lovely, get on with him very well, but he's not allowed to come and watch my stand-up because, as my boyfriend says, he will die. It will be too much for him to take in. He won't be able to cope. Like, he said, if he hears me say certain things, he said, I think my... If my
is
says,
it because
like,
you're talking about sex stuff with his son?
Yeah, and he's sort of... and we get on so well, and he's quite... quite conservative, old-fashioned type of chap. Great sense of humour, though. But I do feel that if he came to see me do stand-up, he would just dissolve. It'd kill him.
I feel like audiences forget, like, when someone is on stage being very open and honest, which is obviously great for stand-up and makes people laugh, you forget there is... Some of us have a parent... I mean, it doesn't affect me so much. I'm pretty, whatever. You can take your mum to watch my stuff generally. I'm not going to, I don't think anyone wants to hear me talk about sex is what I think anyway. Mm-hmm. So I don't do it. But when people do it well, like yourself, then it's just funny to think that there is an old man related to you in some way who is going to be really shocked by what you're saying. Can you just give me the... It's just is there like a specific sex-based sort of like, are we talking, how,
someone just, do you know what it is?
How detailed are we being in this?
So I think, for example, and I have said to my boyfriend's dad, I said, my last show that I did, I said, I think you could come and watch this show because there's nothing particularly rude in it. There's a bit of swearing, and it was, you know, that didn't really do much sex.
Can I just say on the swearing, because my in-laws... My wife doesn't still not swear. I can't swear on her in-law. My in-law, I can't swear. I'm 35 and I can't swear in her presence, which is just hilarious to me in 2022. But the not swearing thing can just fuck off as a thing that we have to be worried about.
Yeah, I agree. But also, this is weird as well. I don't swear in front of my parents.
Oh, you don't swear in front of your parents?
No. No, occasionally I might slip up, but my parents swear.
If they swear, you can swear.
I know, but I just have this thing, I just don't swear. I don't even swear in front of my sister.
What the?
And it's so weird, we don't swear in front of each other. But my parents swear a lot, and again, this is the thing. So my boyfriend's dad, because he's quite old-fashioned, he doesn't swear in front of women, right? Old school. But my boyfriend had him on speakerphone a few months ago, and I heard him say, fucking hell. And I went, oh! And it was like my world had ended. Yeah. So I was like, well, I totally understand why he maybe shouldn't come and watch my stand-up, because I've just heard him say that, and I'm like, oh, I can't do it.
He's ruined your image of him. So he's
ruined it, yeah.
You're like a little cherub to him, and he's like, I can't hear her talk about rude words. I don't know what I was going to say. Oh, no. Yeah. That's hilarious. That's so weird, isn't it? It's so weird that you can't. But, yeah, so if anyone out there likes their stand-up and you're seeing someone be quite... Even swearing, just imagine that there's a parent, whether related or not, who's going to be just uncomfortable during that whole bit. I've said this before, but my mum didn't watch me for ages do stand-up, and then eventually watched me have like the shittest gig of all time. It was so bad, at the Tabard in Chiswick, and it was just like, she was like, what are you doing with your life?
Oh, no.
And then, but she only really laughs at jokes about her and my dad, and everything else, she just stares at me like I'm insane.
Yeah. She likes stuff she can relate to.
She's like, yeah, it's a narcissism, I think. It's got to be just very directly linked to her. That's so funny. Okay, so this feels like a good time now, Paul. Can we tee up we were talking about dads. I really want to do a spin-off podcast where we just chat to your dad and try and find out any information about him.
Well, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Paul, can we play my dad's? So you can get a sense of my dad and how he sounds. He looked you up online, and I can't remember. Is it sort of the taco stuff he started talking about, Paul?
It is, yeah.
So my dad, I think he found your Twitter and started reading stuff on it. Because he started talking and I was like, where have you got this? Let me just, let's play it and see what he says.
To what extent does your life as a rare book librarian encourage your interest in tacos? Does it release the inner taco in you? Did the rare books influence her interest in the inner taco?
I don't know what that means. Do you know what it was? He started talking, I don't know how much is going to stay in the intro, but he started talking so much about hot taco. He goes, she does a podcast about hot tacos. But the thing is, then I was like, because I know you, I know your other podcast, and I know your stand-up a bit, so I was like, hot taco. And then I like Google hot tacos, like a slang for some sex thing, and I was like,
what the fuck?
And I was like, oh, you didn't get, great. Because I was like, what is going on? And then I think, can you explain the hot taco context?
So, surely you've met Danny McLaughlin.
I know Danny McLaughlin very well.
You know Danny? Right. Yeah. So Danny's a good friend of mine, and he does a podcast called the Dan Daniel Podcast, and he does this thing with a taco place in Chester where it's like, you know, you've got to eat the hottest taco available. Anyway, which I did do, and it ruined my life for 2 days. It was horrendous. It was too hot, and I will never do anything. I was trying to be clever, wasn't I? And it didn't work out the way I wanted.
Ruined your life for 2 days. How hot was it?
It was... So we started off with like nice, delicious ones. I was like, oh, this is great. And I genuinely thought I'm fine with hot food. I'm fine. Chili, great. Love chili, whatever.
Yeah.
It was so hot. I had to drink like, I downed a pint of milk, which then just made me really uncomfortable for the rest of the day. But was so hot that I could feel it in my sort of windpipe, tingle of it for 2 days, and also and I'm not exaggerating here, I had a panic attack and I hadn't had a panic attack for about 15 years. So the day after this, I was just sat at my friend's house still feeling the effects of it, and I just went, oh my god, I can't believe this, I'm having a panic attack.
Oh my god.
For the first time in like 50, and I can only attribute it to that taco.
Do you know what I was comically judging in my head at the start, and then you reminded me of a vaguely related thing to parents and spicy food, where my in-laws visited us in LA, and we went to a restaurant just down the street, and it came with like these chilies, and I'm all right with chilies. I ate one, and it fucked me up so badly. Yeah. That I had to go back immediately. I was like, I raced away. And this is, sorry, listeners, this is graphic. I had to do a shit and throw up at the same time.
Oh,
genuinely.
Oh, my God.
It was that quick. I was physically sick from eating a spicy food. And I was like, I had to do both. It was like it had to go out both exits at the same time.
Oh, my God. It's horrendous, isn't it?
Sorry, listeners, it just reminded me. And then my in-laws are like, what's this guy's problem? She with the right guy. Can't even handle a little chili. Yeah, so I don't know how. Basically, he's really crowbarred. He was very excited to find out he used to be a rare book librarian because he buys and sells rare books.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, so I'll tell you about that. Now, on Wikipedia, I don't know who did my Wikipedia, but they, first of all, my age is wrong, which is fine. But they said that I worked full time as a rare books librarian. Now, I wasn't officially a librarian. I did work in a rare books library. I did work with the items and the books, and I did, bring readers, what they'd requested and all that kind of stuff, and do tours of the building and all that kind of thing. But my official title wasn't librarian, so I have to address that. Okay. But I really enjoyed working.
It's on the record, guys. Stop calling her a librarian when you meet her.
Stop calling me a librarian. I loved working there. It was the John Rylands Library in Manchester, and I got to work with so many amazing things. So they had your dad's probably heard of it, Audubon's Bird Book, which is one of the most valuable books in the world.
How much are we talking? How much? That's all we care about. How much cash? This is like Antiques Roadshow.
We weren't allowed to know how much things were worth. So, because obviously they don't trust you, do they? But we did have, I think it was first edition of Dante's Inferno.
Oof.
And I think that was worth something like 7 million. Because an academic told me when they shouldn't have, what it was worth. So, but also I loved working at it. It wasn't so much like there was the first folio of Shakespeare's sonnets and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was all like really iconic stuff. But it was all the other stuff that I liked that he got to look at, like people's diaries from the Victorian times. Just people's general archives, that kind of stuff. And they had an Oscar in the archive for Robert Donat, the actor who was in, Goodbye, Mr. Chips? And the 39 Steps was he in? I think he might have been in that. But he was from Manchester and he won an Oscar. So his archive was donated to the library and we had an Oscar there. That was very exciting. But I loved it. I loved working there. The people were fucking awful. But
What a landing. What a landing for that. I loved it. The people. Do you mean the people that came in to look at the stuff? They were like library dwellers?
Sort of. The academic staff could be a bit irritating. And some of the people that came in to look at stuff could be awful. Some of them, I mean, I'm still actually, this is weird as well. It was generally like the middle management type people that were the worst people you work with.
But always, all industries.
But I made some really good friends there, but friends that you wouldn't expect. I don't know that I would be friends with. So I'm friends with a chap who, he's Oxford educated. He's the head of the Methodist Archives. He's mad religious and he's like a 60-odd-year-old man. Got nothing in common. I think he's a member of Opus Dei, the mad Catholic, group. But every so often I go to Manchester, have a pint with him, we have a right old laugh.
There you go. I was going to say he's like an alternative father figure to you. Just also nothing in common.
Nothing in common.
Just an older bloke.
He's just an older bloke. That's it. And I don't know anything. I know more about him than I do my dad. It's insane. Oh my God, I know more about him than I do my dad. But yes, anyway,
that's great.
I think
okay,
I'm rambling.
I know my dad. My dad will find. I'm glad I got some gossip on that. I'm going to tell him. He loves to ask. He's obsessed with how much everything is. So he's like, how much is that worth? And so if I book a gig, how much? That's all he cares about. So I'll tell him Dante's Inferno, 7 million.
I think that
was a drunk academic said something he shouldn't have said, but he'll be happy to know.
Yeah,
I've got that gossip for him. Before we wrap it up, Rachel, this has been so fun, and I'm sure your dad won't be listening. Maybe your mum will be listening. If they're listening, would you like to say anything to them?
Well, no. I mean, if I want, I'll tell my mum pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. Like, run everything past her.
Apart from the nickname, that's the first time she might have heard that.
Apart from
grassed up Tony.
That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to apologise to my dad for grassing up mum's nickname, and I'd like to apologise to my mum for enabling it.
There we go. That's good. That's the line under that. And then what I also like my guests to do at the end is just my dad still hasn't said I love you. Obviously, you're in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could direct this at my dad and maybe a bit at your dad. What do you think you could say to potentially encourage the ripping that band-aid off?
Oh, it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's hard because I know my dad loves me because his way of showing that he loves you is to give you a lift somewhere.
Classic. Dad.
You know,
especially
arrange a story. Yeah, or arrange a storage unit for you. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, and it's difficult. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only way I'd say to my dad now, if you want to, you know, life's very short. You're going to have to say it at some point. I mean, don't wait for your deathbed.
Okay.
Because that just brings everyone down.
So get it done. Pre-deathbed. Get an I love you
done. Pre-deathbed, please, yeah.
It'll make us too
sad. Don't be such a cliche on your deathbed.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Yeah. Come on, Dad, think of it as a storage unit, but in word form. I love you.
There we go.
Yeah. Rachel, that's brilliant. Before we go, do you want to plug anything? I think you should, plug your podcast, please, or anything else you want to plug.
Yes, I have a podcast about serial killers that I hope my father hasn't listened to that I do with my friend and fellow comedian, Kiri Pritchard-McLean. It's far too rude for most dads, I would say. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't listen to that. But also follow me on Twitter because I've got lots of previews coming up before Edinburgh this year. I'll be at the Edinburgh Fringe this year. And that's it, really.
Great. What's your at? Just your name?
At Rachel Fairburn, yeah.
Easy. Rachel, thank you so much. This has been so fun.
I've enjoyed myself. Thank you.
It's been a real laugh. I always say this to everyone. Don't get weirded out, but I love you.
Feel weird now.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.